Good morning. This morning we consider Hebrews 1 verses 1 through 6. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you," or again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son"? And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." Dear fellow students of the Word, Merry Christmas. Of course, this time of the year, you see those words written just about everywhere. You see it in Christmas cards. You see it in all different kinds of decorations. And when Christmas Day comes around, no doubt you will greet one another with those words, Merry Christmas. And even for those who try to take Christ out of Christmas and who want to use the more politically correct term, Happy Holidays, instead, it still implies how we're supposed to feel during this time of year. We're supposed to be happy. We're supposed to be merry. We're supposed to be filled with joy. We hear all of the Christmas songs during this time of year, and they all have that same theme of joy. And so as we are in this time that builds up to that day of Christmas, we're supposed to be happy. Well, are you? Doesn't always happen that way, does it? We're not always happy or joyful or merry during this time of year. But I want to encourage you today that whether we feel good or happy, it's not what our Christmas joy depends on. Our Christmas joy depends rather on one thing. It depends on the Savior. Often we miss that because we get caught up in those things, the circumstances of life. But we want to keep that in mind. It's about the Savior. It's about that message from Luke chapter 2 that we read, For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. I don't want to minimize the problems that we face. I understand they're real problems, and you won't want to just push them aside like they don't matter. But the joy of Christmas, the joy that we have during this time of year, doesn't depend on that. And just because we're joyful during this time of year doesn't mean that we have that true Christmas joy. It's about the Savior. What happened on that first Christmas day was something that God had in mind from the beginning of the world, very early on in Scripture. In Genesis 3:15, God tells us of that one that he will send who will crush the head of the devil. And throughout the Old Testament, then, as our text reminds us, through the prophets, God revealed this one who would come to do this. At many times and in various ways, the prophets of old told what would happen in Bethlehem long before it ever did. The coming of the Savior was the main point of all of their prophecies. It was a message that they were very interested in. We read in 1 Peter, "Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating." They were always wondering when the Savior would come. They were always waiting for Christmas, and they wanted the people that they preached to be waiting for Christmas, to be waiting for the coming of that Savior. mentioned already, the prophets spoke about that seed that would come to crush Satan. The prophets also spoke of that seed that would come from Abraham, through which all the families of the earth would be blessed. The prophets spoke of a prince of peace that would come to bring us peace with God. They spoke of a branch of David. There are many prophecies spoken at many times throughout the Old Testament era. If these prophets were inspired to speak so much about the coming of the Savior, so much about Christmas, then it must be something important. And it must be something, as the angel said, a message of good news, of great joy. But now in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. The message of the prophets was surpassed by the coming of that one in that stable in Bethlehem. God showed us His Son. He showed us the one who created the world, as John's Gospel makes clear to us, and as our text points out. Our text also describes Him as the radiance of God's glory, the exact imprint of His image. The one who upholds the entire universe. The one who is far superior to angels. The one who is called His Son. God has spoken to us by this Son. Jesus came to tell us about God's love, and He came to show us that way of salvation. He came to show us that He is the way of salvation. And He does this, as our text tells us, in verse 4, by providing for us the purification for our sins. That's why the angels sang about peace on earth. There in Bethlehem, we see that wonderful truth that is so dear to us sinners. That God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. When we see Jesus on Christmas, we see not only the greatness of our God, but we see the greatness of the salvation that He won for us. The message of Christmas, that a Savior has been born, is the greatest message of all that brings us that joy. The fact that He came to be our Savior, that He came to die for our sins, that He won our salvation, that doesn't change. It's a fact. So it doesn't matter how we feel. It doesn't matter if we feel the emotion of joy now or at any other time of the year. The joy that we have at Christmas time and the whole year isn't so much an emotion as it is a confidence. It's a confidence, knowing that your salvation is sure. It's knowing that Jesus accomplished exactly what He was born to do, to live that perfect life in our place, and to die for every one of our sins. The joy of Christmas, the message of our Savior born to us, is a message that can make even the coldest hearts warm. It's the only message that can truly make Christmas merry. Thank You, Lord, for bringing us that true Christmas joy. Amen. We'll sing of that Christmas joy in the words of Hymn 87. We'll sing verses 1 and 3. Hymn 87, 1 and 3.